Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson. Welcome to Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go on and live their best lives. Today's show is sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway. We believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story? Go to tawatson.com under the program's products tag and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? I have with me my great friend, Carl Sharperson. Hey, brother. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Tommy? Good to see you.
Welcome him to the show here. Carl, man, it's been great seeing you. I know it's been a long, long year for all of us. We haven't had a chance to have a sense of normalcy. But give us a little background on who you are and what you're doing. You got a book out there as well, right?
Yeah, I do. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up in D.C. during the same time period as the movie Remember the Titans. But I grew up in an all African-American community, moved to Spotsylvania, Virginia when I was 16 years old, integrated a school, and my experiences were very similar to the movie Remember the Titans. My high school coach was the third most influential person in my life. He's the one that sent a recruiter to my high school to recruit me to play football at the Naval Academy. And I didn't know what the Naval Academy was. And it was only 90 miles up the road.
Yeah.
Entered the academy, graduated in 76, played football, decided to go into the Marine Corps, decided to become a pilot in the Marine Corps. After 5.5 years in the Marine Corps, I decided to work for Procter & Gamble. Worked for them for 7 years, Frito-Lay for 3 years. Colgate-Palmolive for 6 years, and then moved to South Carolina as the vice president of manufacturing for Dunlap Schlossinger making golf balls.
Wow.
I did that, and then after about 6 or 7 months, my boss and I agreed to disagree.
Uh-huh.
Decided to start up my own business, doing speaking, business consulting, executive coaching, strategic planning. And then in 06 and 07, I started doing professional recruiting when people stopped spending money on training and development. Little did I know that it was pretty tough times during that time period. So I've done a combination of all of that.
Man, that's awesome.
And about three years ago, I authored my first book, Sharp Leadership, Overcome Adversity to Lead with Authenticity. I call it a life-changing book, a manual for overcoming adversity in any environment, in any stage of life.
And that is awesome.
And so I go around talking about the principles in the book, helping people get better individually as well as organizationally.
Man, that's awesome. So, folks, if you want to find someone who can help you overcome adversity as a coach, as a speaker, my good friend Carl Sharperson is the man for you, though. So I want you guys to consider him. Carl, and it's ironic that we're talking about adversity today because that's the whole premise behind our show. And I want you to share with the audience, what has been your biggest obstacle or challenge that you've had to overcome personally or professionally in your life?
My biggest challenge is when I was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma about 11 years ago.
Wow.
That's probably the biggest challenge that I've ever overcome, life-changing type challenge. You know, there is no stage 5.
Right.
So when you get the diagnosis that you got stage 4, then it's a couple of things you can do. But one of the things that's the biggest challenge.
Wow. And you know what? I appreciate you sharing that. One of my other guests on yesterday, he shared similar experiences there as well. And, you know, oftentimes we hear about people fighting the battle through cancer. We don't go a lot into what it actually felt like. What were the emotions that you dealt with as you were enduring this battle here? And again, appreciate you so much for being an overcomer, man. I admire you greatly. What were some of the feelings and emotions that you had to deal with when you were enduring this battle with cancer?
Well, the first thing is I knew something was wrong. I didn't know exactly what it was. So I went in for a routine colonoscopy on the 23rd of December, 2010. Everything looked good. Went home to my wife's family in Florida. my stomach started hurting. I couldn't lay on my stomach, couldn't lay on my back. Went back to the doctor after about 3 or 4 weeks. He gave me some pills, still nothing better, went back again. So I know something's wrong, but I don't know exactly what it is. So the doctor decided to do an x-ray of my stomach. So he did an x-ray of my stomach and he called me at work and he says, I'm going to refer you to an oncologist. I see enlarged lymph nodes in your stomach. That was the first time I'd heard the C word, the cancer word. So there's three things that went through my mind at that time period. Number one, how long am I going to be here?
Sure.
Number two, how am I going to spend my time and who am I going to spend my time with? Those were the three things that went through my mind with that diagnosis.
Wow.
So I didn't know, you know, exactly what it was, but I went in and that's when they did all the tests and things like that and told me it was stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So the lady that was the my care worker, I got treated at the VA, but she was my caseworker and I can remember her telling me, her name is Pam. She said, Carl, you can beat this thing, but you have to have a positive attitude.
Wow.
And that's probably the most important thing, because if you tell yourself you're going to die, then you're going to die because your body's going to follow your mind. If you tell yourself you're not going to die and you're going to fight through it, you still might die, but at least you got a chance.
Absolutely. Carl, that's interesting that you said that, because the guy who I spoke to yesterday said the same exact thing. It's about attitude, mindset, you know, to get through this thing. Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And it's a little thing that we take for granted oftentimes, don't we?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. It's the it's all between years, most of it.
Yeah. So as you were going through this, what type of coping mechanisms did you tap into to kind of help you get through this?
Well, one thing that was important that I did, which I think about now, is number one, I shared it with people.
Oh, yes.
One of the things that I learned about the cancer journey is some people tell everybody, some people tell nobody, and then you got people in the middle. So I was pretty open in sharing it with people. Because I shared it with people, then there were people that came into my life that would not have come into my life and said what they said and did what they did if they did not know.
Wow.
One example was a lady that was living up the street named Diana, who was a breast cancer survivor. Mm. So after I had my first chemo, she came to the house and was talking to me about her chemo journey. So she was a marathon runner. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, did a lot of research, and she started what she called her chemo walk. Mm. Every day she would get up and walk, even when she was going through her chemotherapy. And she said that helped her.
Wow.
So that same day, I got up and walked for the first time in a long time with a 14-year-old in the neighborhood, and I did that every day.
Wow.
So the mindset of being able to exercise and overcome that stuff was instrumental. Okay, so she poured into my life. There was another guy that graduated from the academy about a year after I did, and his name is Stan. And Stan sent me a book called I Choose to Fight by a guy named Tommy Harper. Tommy Harper was a fellow football player of mine at the Naval Academy. He's a year behind me. He came to the Naval Academy from California, 6'3", 230 pounds, tight end. This was the second year that freshman could play varsity football. So he had made his way all the way up to second string tight end.
Wow.
And we were getting ready to play Michigan, the University of Michigan. And he had some problems during the summer with throwing up and losing weight and stuff like that. And he was fighting through it. But the doctors told him that not only are you not going to travel, we're going to have to do emergency surgery. So Tommy was diagnosed with testicular cancer at the age of 19.
Wow.
And he was given an 8% chance to live 6 months.
Wow. That's
8% chance to live 6 months. Uh-huh. But they didn't tell Tommy. They told his parents. They told the coaches. They told everybody else. So his mindset was, I'm going to get through this thing and I'm going to get back on the field.
That's right.
So that's the way that was his mindset. Long story short, Tommy lived until he was 55 years old and had 2 kids. They said, you're going to die in 6 months and you'll never have children. Wow. So my friend poured that book into my life. So as I'm reading that book, I'm thinking, wow, if Tommy can go through that, I can go through what I'm going through. So those were some examples of people that poured into me.
And that is absolutely awesome. And I love it. Great strategy. They told Tommy's parents, they never told Tommy. That's if you can't get motivated by something like that, that's amazing. You know, you kind of alluded to this a moment ago. You had some people who are sharing into you, imparting into you. Did you have any specific mentors or guides or advisors that kind of helped you from day one on get through this process?
I can't think of one individual person. There were several people, and these were a couple of them. It's only three people. Three people that I shared my diagnosis with before I shared it with my wife. Mm. So when I got the call that I had, that they were going to refer me to an oncologist, I didn't talk to my wife. I talked to three other people, three guys. One was my pastor.
Wow.
One was my best man in my wedding. And the other one was, who's the other one? There's another one I shared it with. Another one was a good friend of mine that was in the military, and we become friends. So those were the three people I shared it with. And when I finally shared it with my wife and told her that I wasn't, that she was not the first person to hear it, she was not a happy camper.
I'm sure she was not.
but I've always, so I can't think of one individual that was the only one. So I just, you know, I did a pretty good job throughout my life of building relationships with people,
yes.
You know? So, you know, there were a lot of people that were pulling for me.
That's awesome. And you know, Carl, as you think about this, what kept you motivated to keep fighting in your darkest day?
Well, this goes back to my high school coach, who's the third most influential person in my life. He's the one that gave a talk when I went off of football for the first time in the ninth grade. And he said, you got your pads. If you don't want to play, turn them in today. He says, but if you come back the next day, I need you to stay until the end of the season because quitters never win and winners never quit. Mm-hmm. He said, if you quit my football team, you might quit school. Mm. Quit school and get married, you might quit your spouse. Mm. Have kids, you might quit your kids, because once you quit the first time, it's easy to quit the next time.
Right.
So from that day on, I always had a mindset of never quitting.
Wow.
So when that diagnosis was given to me, and the other thing that you kind of go through in the military is when you go through boot camp, that's kind of the initial thing where you learn to deal with adversity. In other words, you have to know a lot of information, and it's so much information that you can't know it all. Mm-hmm. So when you come to a point where you can't know it all, then you have to, you know, you have to be accountable for what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is when stuff happens, you kind of develop a mindset of, okay, this happened. I got to assess the situation. I got to put together a plan, and I got to execute the plan.
Yes.
And then if I keep my head down and execute the plan, things will get better.
Yes.
But if I sit around and worry about it, nothing's going to get better. So my mindset was assess the situation, put together a plan, and work the plan. That's all I can do. That's the best I can do. And I just keep my head down and keep it moving.
That's right. I love it. Very, very powerful. Again, I talked to another person here, and she was homeless, and she said that's what she got through. She had to just keep her head down. She could look at what was going on the left or the right, just had to keep going. You know, as you think about your cancer journey, where you are today, how did that situation change you as a person?
Well, when I got the diagnosis, I thought about the three things that had nothing to do with how much money I had and how much power I had. So it made me really be thankful for the little things that we sometimes take for granted.
Yes.
If you think about what we're going through now, the pandemic, I mean, if you got a roof over your head and you have your health and your strength and you got food or a job or some combination of that, you're better than a whole lot of other people.
That's right. Yeah.
So being able to take and understand what you have and what you're thankful for and be thankful for that, as opposed to focusing on the negative. I mean, if you want to focus on some negative stuff, there's a bunch of stuff
to
focus on if you wanted to. But it doesn't help, in my opinion.
That's great insights. I really appreciate that. So as you look back today, anything you would do differently as you went through that journey?
You know, there's a podcast that a guy does at the Naval Academy, and it's called The Do-Over.
Mm.
And so it's about leadership and what you've done and what you would do differently if you could do it again. So I was thinking about my life, and I said, there's nothing that I would do over.
Yeah.
You know, because I can't, that's not the way my mind works.
Sure.
The way my mind works is something happens. What did I learn from it?
Yes.
Now, some of the biggest lessons that I've ever learned have been learned through adversity.
Yes.
So if I could go back and change it, I mean, I'd have had those learnings.
Yes.
You know, so that's kind of the way I look at it.
Yes. I love it. You wouldn't be who you are today, though. Yeah, absolutely. So, folks, I mean, if you hear a common theme there over and over again that you got to put your head down. You got to embrace change. And sometimes the change can be something that you didn't expect, but you got to embrace it. So, Carl, we may have a lot of folks out there who are dealing with issues with health, finances, family, lost loved ones. What would you share with them to encourage them to stay positive and motivated to get beyond any obstacle or hurdle that they're facing right now? What would be your words of advice to those folks?
That's a very good question. And I've thought about that during the pandemic. I'm a firm believer. I try to keep life simple.
Yes.
So I try to deal in threes, right? So to me, the most important thing is to have a positive mindset.
Yes.
Which means you have to feed your mind with positive things, mm-hmm. right? When I was going through my cancer journey, when I was walking, I would say one of three scripture, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of Jabez, or the 23rd Psalm. Mm. And I just say them over and over and over to feed my mind with some positive things. So whatever it takes to feed your mind with positive things, it could be motivational talks by Tommy Watson.
Or good plug. Or Les Brown.
Yeah, or Les Brown or anybody, you know. But put that positive stuff in your head. That's the most important thing. Because like I said before, your body will follow your mind.
Yes.
So having a positive attitude is the most important thing. Now, the other thing is, like I said before, a crisis can create opportunity. Mm-hmm. There's some things that I've done in life that I never would have done because I was in a crisis. When you're in a crisis, you got to be real resourceful.
Yes.
And you do some things that you would normally do.
Yes.
You know, and it causes you, the pandemic is what I call a significant emotional event on steroids. A significant emotional event is something that will rock your world. It could be divorce. It could be loss of a loved one. It could be loss of, but the pandemic has multiple ones. You got people that have lost jobs, lost loved ones, lost health, you know, lost money, lost all kinds of things. So in this pandemic, you've got all those things going on. But what it does is it causes you to listen, slow down.
Yes.
Here's some things that you wouldn't normally hear. So having a positive mindset is the most important thing. The second thing is you got what the pandemic does is it messes up your routine, mm-hmm. you know, and adults as well as everybody needs a routine. If anybody that has had a baby wants a routine. What time you going to wake them up? What time you going to put them to bed? What time you going to feed them? And if you do not have that baby on a routine, you have a cranky baby. Mm-hmm. So what you have today is you have cranky adults mm-hmm. because they don't have a routine. Their routine's been messed up. So the second thing you got to do is you got to create a routine. Mm-hmm. What time you going to get up? What time you going to go to bed? What are you going to do in between time? What time you going to eat? Because your body likes and needs routine. You only got 24 hours in a day. So you got to put productive things in those 24 hours that you have. And I'm a firm believer that you develop that routine. And again, it's kind of keep your head down, work the routine.
Yeah.
The third thing is you have to set a goal and identify some strategies and then take those strategies and break them down into bite-sized pieces so that every day you're working your plan and you know that if you work your plan, you'll get closer to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Folks, that is some great practical advice. I mean, if you're not inspired and pumped up after hearing Carl Shoppers after this, I don't know what else you can do, man. So if you're looking for a coach out there, you're looking for a person who can help you, direct you in your next employment adventure, this is the guy you want to talk to. If you're looking for a speaker, this is the guy you want to speak to. Who better to have come speak to your folks than a person who has served in our military, beat cancer, and is going out giving back today in the same aspect, man. Carl, I can't thank you enough, brother, for doing that. So if people want to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
They can Google my name and it'll pop up, Carl Sharperson Jr. They can go to my website, which is www.carlsharpersonjr.com and reach me that way.
You on social media at all?
I am social media. My book is on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can connect with me there.
That's awesome. What's the name of that book again, Carl?
Sharp Leadership, Overcome Adversity to Lead with Authenticity. Man. I call it a manual for adversity in any environment, in any stage of life.
I love it. Go get the book. You guys support Carl. Hey, Carl, so we talked about some of the tough stuff. We're going to have some fun now. You ready to have some fun?
Okay.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. This is our rapid fire part of the show where I'll ask you questions. I won't elaborate on any of the questions. And what our audience wants to hear from you is your best response to these questions. Okay. You need some water? Are you ready? Response. Yeah. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Carl, how have you turned a dream into reality?
Wanting to go to the Naval Academy and graduating as a pilot.
What gives your life meaning?
Jesus Christ.
If money wasn't an issue for you, what would you do with your time?
Spend it helping people and visiting family.
What verb best describes you?
Work.
Worker bee. Okay. I love it. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
I want to solve the problem of encouraging and encouraging mindset.
Awesome. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Play ball, anything. Baseball, football. I always had a ball in my hand.
I love it. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Spend time helping people.
Okay. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
15? Probably right now. Well, I mean, I grew up as a child wanting to be a professional athlete.
Okay.
So...
Post NBA or NFL sometime, right?
Yeah, I was either baseball or football.
Okay. Who inspires you the most?
Inspires me the most. Nelson Mandela.
Okay. What's something about your life that others would be surprised to learn about you?
I was a pyromaniac and set 21 acres on fire when I was 14 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be a big problem, man. Yeah, I'm sure your parents were not happy with you about that, right? What's on your bucket list to do this year?
Get my wife healthy. She has breast cancer. That's on my bucket list.
Amen. She's gonna be in our prayers, and we're speaking healing over her for sure. What's something you'll spend time doing no matter what?
Being thankful for what I have.
Yes. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
That I was a son of God that loved people and did what I said I was going to do.
Love it. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Know what people are thinking.
Was that Superman? Was Superman doing that? Yeah, I guess. Huh? So if I were to walk around your house, what clues would reveal about what it is that you love?
Family.
What would you go back to school for?
Go back to school. What would I go back for? Probably to learn more about the psychology of people.
Okay. Yeah.
And relationship dynamics. Yep.
Okay. What sparks your creativity?
Swimming.
Swimming, good. If you became president today, what would be the first law that you would pass?
Probably create a service where everybody would have to give back some kind of way.
Okay.
In a servant way, okay. Not with money, but they would have to give something back to society.
Very creative. Help I love society. That. Love that. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be?
Probably Tony Robbins.
Okay. What's the best gift someone's ever given you?
My two children.
Love it. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
You changed my life.
Okay, good. What's one thing you've never been afraid to do?
To try my best.
Okay. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Most valuable player of the football team.
Okay, that's a good one. What does success look like for you?
Success to me is rearing healthy, happy, productive grandchildren that love the Lord and are contributing positively to society.
I love it. If I were to speak to the people who knew you the best, what would they say your purpose is in life?
To encourage and help others.
What are you most grateful for?
Grateful for my wife.
Yeah. What's been the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
I think one of the biggest lessons is that everybody wants the same thing. Mm. They want to be loved, they want to be respected, and they want to be successful.
Yeah.
Everybody wants that. They may not behave that way, but I know that everybody wants that.
Yes. I love it. And last but not least, Carl, how do you want to be remembered in history?
I want to be remembered as a man that left a legacy and help create some others that have my skill set that want to help others. That I was a person that helped others that will help others.
Awesome. Carl, you survived, man. Give yourself a round of applause. Great job, man. Awesome job, brother. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Great job.
So, glad Carl, to be here. I had a great interviewer.
I appreciate that, man. And it's always good to interview friends, man. People who you see are as overcomers, man, and hang out with. And it's good seeing you, Carl. As we were to wrap things up today, you know, the purpose of our show was around resiliency and purpose. What would you tell folks as any closing thoughts around those two items? About being resilient and finding a purpose for life?
Well, I think it's important for people. I believe that, let's talk about it this way. So I'm a firm believer that everybody was created for a reason.
Yes.
There's no accidents.
Yes.
Okay. And everybody was given at least one gift. Mm-hmm. And everybody has that gift in them. The gift has to be developed, but the gift is in you. For example, fish don't go to swimming school.
Right.
That's a gift. Mm-hmm. Birds don't go to flight school. Mm-hmm. That's a gift. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a gift is something that you naturally do and you can't get, it can't be taken away from you.
I like that. That's
so
good.
The key thing is somebody can fire you from your job, right? But they can't fire you from your gift.
That's right.
So if you can make your gift the same as your job and mesh them, then work doesn't seem like work.
Yes.
So the gift, so how you identify your gift is what is it that makes you mad, that upsets you, that's the problem you want to solve. For example, the thing that irritates me the most is people being marginalized and being put down and being hurt. So what do I do? I coach and I help people over stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So finding out what your purpose is very, very critical, okay? And then the second part is being able to have resilience, authenticity, as well as being able to overcome adversity. I think the best gift that a parent can give their child is the ability to suffer well. Yes. Because you're gonna go through stuff in your life. And as a parent, I'd rather see my children go through it under my roof as opposed to covering up everything and having them experience it outside of the household. So purpose and overcoming adversity are critical skills.
Man, I'll tell you what, man, I can sit and listen to Carl all day long, man. Folks, if you are looking for a coach, a mentor, a guide to help you in any aspect of your life, man, you got to reach out to Carl Sharperson. This man knows what he's talking about. He's been there, done it, and he's got the results to show it. Carl, if people want to reach out to you, give him your contact information again, please.
Yes, sir. Carl Sharperson. It's www.carlsharpersonjr. That's carlsharpersonjr.com, my website. LinkedIn, Google my name, Facebook, and you can connect with me.
That's awesome.
And you, if you connect with me, I'll give you a free coaching session.
There you go. Free. Who doesn't like freebies out there? Jump on that and take advantage of that. Yes, I love it. Let them know you heard him on the show here and you heard him say that on the show.
There you go. That's right.
Find him. That's right. Hold him accountable. So, folks, if you are someone out there or you know someone out there who's an overcomer, with an amazing story, we would love to showcase you as a guest on our show. Please go to tawatson.com, fill out the form, and we would definitely contact you. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download, rate this episode, share with your folks on social media. We also love sponsors as well. So again, be encouraged, be inspired, be resilient. Thank you for your time and energy today. Deuces. Peace.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.